Hey everyone, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees and a fun twist at the end of each episode.
So on this week's episode, we're really going to be talking about everything, the flurry that happened before the lockout deadline. There's been a ton of big names off the board, but there's still a good amount of big names left on the board, as well as a lot of possible trades, because not really many trades happened. There were a few small ones, but not a lot. And then based off of that, we're kind of going to talk about what we want the Yankees to do for the rest of the offseason, and also kind of what we expect based off of what we heard. And then we want to end out with just kind of giving our thoughts about the lockout and everything we've heard thus far, and what's going to happen with that. And as always, if you enjoy this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps us out when you leave those ratings and reviews. And remember to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. So join us now for Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Ladies and gentlemen, he who breaks the rules goes back to the house of pain.
Okay, so we wanted to start by just talking about all of the big moves and some of the smaller ones. Obviously, there are a lot of names that went off the board that there's just too many to touch on that don't have a big impact on the game. But I think, it's not really arguable. The biggest thing that happened was the Rangers signing Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, and John Gray.
That was shocking to me. But what a week this was, just in terms of free agency. Like, I understand, like, people were trying to sign before the lockout happened, but that was, like, as a fan, even though the Yankees didn't really do much, this was just a crazy week. I just kept refreshing Twitter, just trying to see any news. So I bet you were doing the same thing, just constantly looking at the news. So I think for baseball, I kind of like if like just this week, like I kind of want more of that, just because like if you have like a week of just signings, it's way more exciting than having it drawn out over like 2-3 months, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely glued to Twitter and social media the whole week. There were a lot of fake Yankee sources saying that stuff was going to happen when it wasn't. And that was kind of fun to watch, but like, I'm kind of torn on the idea of everything happening at once, because like, it's fun as a fan for it to happen. Mm-hmm. But if you think about the logistics of it, it's kind of like, it just plays to the advantage of the owner's pockets. Like, you're forcing
I agree, because if it's a shorter time period, so you feel like you might have to take the best offer, the first offer, whereas if you're able to wait, like, I understand why it is the way it is. I'm just saying, like, man, it would be really cool if it was like a set period, just as a fan, just to see, because that's just super exciting. But I don't expect that to happen, but it would be
cool. I mean, I do definitely think it's exciting, but I also think it's fun when like Gerrit Cole signed, what, I think he signed right before Christmas, or right after when he signed. That was, that was awesome. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. when you have my another downside is like, if it's like this and it's the first, like the last 2 weeks of November, first week of December, mm-hmm. something like that, then you're mm-hmm. like, you're done until February. Yeah.
I mean, if they were to do this, and I don't think it would, I would think it would have to be like, at a certain period, it's like only trades can happen. You cannot sign free agents. And then mm-hmm. at a certain period, you could only sign major league players. And then anything after that, it would have to be like minor league contracts. But like, I don't think that would work out just logistically.
I mean, I think something that, I don't know the logistics behind it, but like if you did that, but later in the mm-hmm. offseason, maybe in January or January, I think February is too late, but mm-hmm. even maybe December, but probably January. And just like, you can talk, like agents can talk to teams before mm-hmm. the period, but no official signings can happen. So like, you'll still have rumors like, oh, Carlos Correa is in heavy talks with the Yankees, Dodgers, and Cubs, but like nothing official can happen. So at least you're like, oh, my team's on this guy. Like we might have a chance of getting him.
Yeah.
But if it was just like early off season, everything, boom, all free agents right then there, that kind of suck. But I mean, it's, you can't really doubt the fact that it was fun to see this. And some of the contracts were crazy.
Wild, like wild contracts.
And it's funny because like some of the contracts players got way more than I thought they would. And then some of the contracts players got a lot less than I thought would.
We'll get into the contracts, but for the hitters, I was like, holy shit, like they're making a lot of money. And then the pitchers, Ray and Gausman, I was expecting more money for them, but they ended up signing for reasonable contracts. Like, I can't really complain about that. I really thought they were going to get overpaid, but Simeon kind of got this whole thing started. When I saw he signed a 7-year, $175 million contract, that blew my mind. I thought I was texting you when it happened. I thought he was going to sign like the, you know, in total, like the shortest amount of money just out of all the big shortstops, just given his age, you know, he's what, 32, 31.
Yeah.
So 7 years, 175 million. That's crazy.
Yeah. I was thinking it was going to be like maybe like a shorter AV, like 4 or 5 years, but at like, or a shorter length, but like higher AV, maybe closer to the 30 mark, maybe 27.5 mil a year, but like 4 or 5 years. I was not expecting 7 years, 175 million. When I saw that, I was like, thank God the Yankees didn't do this, because if we signed Marcus Semien to 7 years, I would have been furious. Yeah.
I mean, and at that point, once he got paid, all the other shortstops were like seeing, you know, money. Like you knew Seager and when Correa signs are going to sign for crazy amounts.
Yeah.
And Seager did sign for a crazy amount.
Yeah. And I think someone might respond to what I just said about having him for 7 years. Like if you look at the age of like Seager and Correa, signing them to 10 years, you're basically having them to the same age, but the difference is like you have 3 or 4 years of prime Correa or Seager to offset that. You probably have like 2 more years of Semien before he starts to decline. I'm not saying he's going to drop off a cliff, but like you're paying for the next 2 years. You're not paying for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, you're going to need production immediately because you're going to expect his later years to, you know, fall off. But whereas Correa and Seager, they already built up so much goodwill, hopefully, in their contracts, where you're like, okay, we'll have to deal with it, kind of like with Pujols, although I don't think it's going to be as bad, but everyone kind of expected that. It's like dominate the first couple of years, and then in the later half you wouldn't worry, but Pujols' contract is a whole other beast in itself.
Yeah, Pujols just kept getting hurt.
yeah
I think with like Correa and Seager, you expect 5 years of really high level baseball, and then 2 years of starting to decline, a year of average, then maybe a year or two of just not great, but like you already got your money's worth.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's obviously the hope with Gerrit Cole. Any long-term contract is like,
I mean, if you get all years great, that's great, but that's probably not likely. You're expecting to have those, that kind of like arc of it.
Yeah. And that's something like, that kind of makes me think about Stanton's contract. It's similar to Nelson Cruz, where like if you're signing a player that you can stick at DH later on in their career, like it helps alleviate a little bit. Like a DH has nowhere near the amount of value as an actual position player, but like if you're like, we're paying Stanton $22 million a year, like luxury tax hit, and if he's gonna do what he did last year, which I don't think people understand how good Stanton is because of his injuries. Like, he's a future Hall of Famer, and he has never had an OPS below 800. Like, he is one of the best hitters in the league.
His issue is not on the field. It's just staying on the field. Like, his production when he's playing is off the charts. Like, you've seen him in the playoffs last year, what he did.
Yeah.
You know,
if he plays even 120 games, he plays 120 games, he's worth what he's being paid.
Yeah. We're paying him $22 million. The only thing you could argue is the length, but the actual average salary we're paying him is great. You know, you will take if he plays 120 games, he's worth $22 million.
And if you tell me if Stan became a free agent tomorrow, he's going to sign for less than $22 million. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially because he can play the outfield. A team that would sign him would probably play him out there because they're not as afraid as the Yankees are. I mean, rightfully so for the Yankees. They've had 18 million injuries. But either way, moving on from Semien, right next to him on the diamond is going to be Seager. And we talked about a big deal for Semien at 7175. Seager just blew that out of the water. Is his 325, 10 over 325?
Yep.
I mean,
so yeah, it almost double what Semien got.
Yeah.
So that's insane. And Semien got a lot of money. I was shocked that the Rangers signed Semien at first. And then when they got Seager again, I was like, wow. Well, before they even signed those, they signed John Gray, which was, I really like that signing.
I thought that was after.
Was it? I could have sworn
it was definitely after Semien.
Was it?
I feel like it was. I mean, regardless, you keep going. Sorry.
I think it might have been at the same time. I'm just seeing November 28th. It says Semien and Gray.
Okay.
But so Gray signed a little bit after the news broke that Semien signed. But it was just a nice move. You saw the Rangers sign Semien and you're like, wow, that's a kind of a out there team. Like, I wasn't really expecting them to sign them. I heard there was like they were linked to Story because he's from Texas. And that was like just a nice homecoming. But I didn't really put too much stock into those rumors. But when Semien signed, I was like, wow, holy cow. And then they signed Gray and then they signed Seager. And it seems like they're really going for something in Texas. I know they have like a rebuild going, but they have a nice core with Seager and Semien and Gray.
Yeah. I mean, when they signed to Semien and Gray, I was like, oh, that's a great offseason. I'm sure they're going to stop there and just like maybe some other small signings and just work on their team. And then they signed Seager too. And I mean, $32.5 million a year for Corey Seager is, I expect him to sign for 30. I mean, I guess $2.5 million a year isn't outrageous, but like that Correa, if Correa signed before the lockout, I think he would have certainly signed for 35 mil a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or close to it. I'm not sure. We'll talk about this a little later when he comes up, but I don't know if he's going to sign for that now. But regardless, the Rangers, I mean, and what was Gray, 4 over 54, I believe?
Yeah, I
which think is so as well. Less than 15 mil a year. I mean, low floor, high ceiling kind of guy. Like, it's a high risk, high reward situation.
I do like his, like, I think I said this last week, but he's a guy that just got killed in cores, or he actually had better numbers at cores, but when I say he got killed, it's just like his breaking stuff doesn't break as much being in cores, where I think now being on the road, that's going to really help him. He has a fastball. Like, he has all the tools you see in a good pitcher. And I think he will, you know, be a very solid two. And if he goes even higher than that, you'll take it, but it's a great value signing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, I was kind of upset that the Yankees didn't do it. But I think if the Yankees sign a pitcher, based off of who they've attempted to get, Verlander, we'll talk about that later. But it seems like they're kind of targeting a true number two guy slash a number one, but we have Gerrit Cole, so he'd be our number two. I don't think if they sign a pitcher or trade for one, it doesn't really seem they're going to go for a project pitcher, which is interesting because that's usually their MO. I could be wrong. They could just go out and sign someone random, but like, it kind of seems like they want to go all in if they're going to sign a pitcher.
Well, talking about going all in, so the first big move I remember happening was Steven Matz signing with the Cardinals. And I remember Cohen had like a big Twitter like feud with the agent, just like saying like, oh, he's unprofessional, because apparently they might have had a deal and he might have said like, hey, I'll give the Mets like first call, like last chance, like, hey, this is what they're giving me, match it and I'll sign with you. And that didn't end up happening. So I remember he just had this whole like, you know, tirade on Twitter, and then the Mets just went on a complete tear right after Thanksgiving, signing what, four people? No.
Which Eduardo Escobar, Mark Canna, Max Scherzer, and Starling Marte. Like,
yeah.
Wow. I mean, I was only upset that they signed Starling Marte. I kind of wanted him for the Yankees, but like.
Well, how it first started was, I think it was Eduardo Escobar signed first, where they need a third baseman. And I do like that signing. I like his versatility. He's always a guy in fantasy that I always draft. You're like, I'll draft him for like a dollar or two, and he'll put up like 30 home runs, 100 RBIs. I get that's not like the best stats out there, but he's very solid. You know, like,
yeah,
you can't complain with him. His glove isn't bad. It's not the best, but it's a good, I think it's a good signing just to stick him at third. And then Mark Canna, great on base guy. You put him at the top of the lineup, he's going to score you a bunch of runs just because he gets on base all the time. So it's like, that's really good signings. Then they sign Marte. The only issue with Marte is that he has age, like he's kind of older. They signed him, what, 5 year, $70 million? Was that the contract?
That rings a bell. Is it 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, let me just double check that. But yeah, I think it was a 5 year contract for sure, though. So
four years.
Yeah, 4 years, $78 million. So, and he's 33. So that's the only concern, is that his age. But I think he's going to age well. You saw what he did last year. Like, so that was a really great signing for them, I think. Just putting him in center field, like they needed a center fielder. But there was still rumblings for the Mets. They signed Scherzer to an insane contract.
Yeah, what was three years, yeah. $120 million?
Yeah, I think it was 130. I think it was 130 over 3 years. So over $42 million. Yeah.
I mean, that's the second time he set the AAV for pitchers. He set it when he went to the Nationals, but. I mean, it would have been cool for sure to come to the Yankees, but that contract, no chance.
and if you're talking about age concerns with Marte, yeah. You have it with Scherzer as well. I don't think he's going to decline as fast as everyone's saying. It's still a lot riskier. You're definitely putting all your chips in like one, or putting all your eggs in one basket, right?
Yeah, I mean, good for Mets fans, like. That their team is, going for it. I mean, it's a really risky going for it, because a lot of the guys that they signed could just not be good, but at the same time, they're trying. And
I wanted to mention, give them credit for that. Like,
as
a fan, you want to see like team spending and just going for it, right? Like, I get like this is kind of reckless spending. But I think it's a good gamble to take, you know, like I would bet on Scherzer doing well. I would bet on Marte doing well. I would bet on Eduardo Escobar doing well. Like, I think these are all calculated moves, risky, but calculated.
You see, so I wanted to mention Marte because, like, I don't agree with you. I mean, I think I would have liked Marte on he's on a 2 year deal, but the deal that he signed, I wouldn't want that at all, because
really
Marte, his whole game pretty much revolves around his speed. Mm-hmm. And like at 33 years old at center field, his body is going to catch up to him. He's not going to be that fast in a couple of years. I mean, look at Brett Gardner. When Brett Gardner was 33, he was a really quick guy. And then all of a sudden he's just not.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to hurt Marte a lot in the last 2 years of that deal. Like the first 2 years, I think he's going to be pretty good. Yeah. And I think it's a little bit much for him, but if that's what it took to get him, like they're going to eat the last year or two, and hopefully he performs. But yeah, I don't think the contract is going to be worth it, but it mm-hmm. definitely could be.
Yeah, it's, for sure.
I'm just iffy on giving older players that rely on their speed long contracts. It hasn't worked out well for the Yankees.
Ellsbury just comes yep. to mind, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, the Mets went crazy. Good for them. I hope that they actually compete this year. Baseball's more fun when the Yankees and Mets are both doing good. I don't dislike the Mets at all. I don't care when they do well. Like, yeah. I'm gonna root for the Mets if they're not. Well, yeah. Okay.
I don't
dislike the Mets organization. I kind of dislike the Mets now because of Lindor, but now that Baez is gone, I don't completely dislike them. Like that game, that series kind of left a sour taste in my mouth for that team.
Yeah.
But like as an organization, typically I hope the Mets do well. If they mm-hmm. face the Yankees, obviously I'm rooting for the Yankees, but otherwise I will root for the Mets over most yeah. teams.
What I always say is that I view them as little brother. Like I don't have any hatred for them. Like I feel like a lot of Mets fans think about Yankee fans, but for me, like I want the Mets to do well unless they're yeah. playing the Yankees, you know?
And like saying LOL Mets and like making fun of the Mets is just, it's like yeah. you said, like it's, a little brother. Like I don't yeah. actually dislike them, but you can't yeah. help but watch the Mets year after year and not think LOL. Like,
yeah.
They just somehow collapse in a new fashion every single year.
Well, you know what the new way they're going to blow it, right? Is that there's not going to be a 2022 season. They got all hype for this 2022 season and it's canceled.
And then all their players are going to be a year older.
Yeah. So that's how this is going to turn out.
That would be Metsy.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I guess it's fitting to go off Scherzer to Verlander.
Yeah, so that's where I was going to go to.
This is interesting because Verlander never officially signed.
Oh, really? Is that really?
Yeah, there are reports that saying he never like actually officially signed with the Astros. He was never added the 40 man. The Astros never announced it. Like none of that happened. So
yeah, that's right. I'm just looking it up right now. It's not finalized. In my mind, I thought it was official. You're right. It's not official yet. I wonder. So do you have any idea? Is it medicals or
some people think it has to be related to his physical, but like mm-hmm. this opens up a lot of doors because he can't sign now until the lockout's over mm-hmm. and a lot can happen yeah. until then. Like he could.
Yeah.
Just be like, I'm not going to sign with you guys anymore. I'm going to go to LA or I'm going to go to New York. Like he could do that. Yeah. I don't think he will. I think he'll end up signing with the Astros, but like this could be interesting. But either way, if the contract that was reported 2 years, well, 1 year with a player option for the second year or a club option.
I think it's a player option, both at 25 million, so 50 million in total. But yeah, that was crazy. Well, Thor signed beforehand and he signed a $21 million contract. And at that point, mm-hmm. I also that was like the, you know, kind of with Semien when he signed, you figured, okay, now these shortstops are going to get paid. When Thor got 21 million, I was like, okay, I think Verlander is going to make more than that.
Yeah.
Because he just has a better track record, but it's still risky coming off Tommy John. He pitched what, a couple innings in 2 years. So to get 50 million is insane to me.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's, he's a Hall of Famer. Like,
yeah,
I think it's a fair contract. Like mm-hmm. it makes sense. I think that, like you said, he hasn't pitched in 2 years really, and mm-hmm. he hasn't pitched since sticky stuff has been banned. So like you have those risks, but it's also Justin Verlander. Like
mm-hmm.
it's kind of hard to count him out ever. So we'll see.
I think I was more in on Verlander than you were, just because like I thought the Yankees should have signed Verlander, not at that contract, but I did think the Yankees should throw Verlander a contract offer, just see where it was. It just obviously 25 million is just a little too rich, but I wanted the Yankees to sign him.
Well,
but you were mentioning, which I completely overlooked, was that sticky stuff, you know, controversy. Yeah. You know, obviously you never know what's going to happen with, you know, Tommy John. But if it was all sticky stuff, it's like, is he going to pitch as well? You know,
who knows? Yeah, and I don't think sticky stuff has as big of an impact on a guy like Verlander as it does on like Kikuchi, for example. Mm-hmm. He was a lot better at the beginning of the season than after. Like after sticky stuff, he really dropped off.
Yeah.
And he's so young that and relies so much on movement that it's kind of like he's a little bit more iffy than a guy that's as established at the top of the game. Like Kikuchi was never a top pitcher. Like you don't become a top 10 pitcher in the league just because of sticky stuff. Like that's not how it works. Like,
yeah,
Verlander is a Hall of Fame pitcher. To say he's going to be bad just because he doesn't have sticky stuff mm-hmm. is stretching it too far. It's just a risk.
Yeah.
I would have been happy if the Yankees signed him to a 1-year, $25 million contract, but
that second year just gets you.
Yeah. I'm okay with him not coming for that contract coming here. But yeah, I guess keeping it with pitchers, we could go to Stroman.
Robbie Ray.
Yeah, we could do Robbie Ray and Gausman, like pretty much identical contracts. Ray goes to the Mariners, Gausman goes to the Jays. I thought Ray would stay with the Jays.
Especially since it was such a similar contract. I'm just wondering what kind of happened there. I don't know. Everyone says like, you know, the team knows best. So maybe they know something that we don't know. But I was surprised that they didn't get him. So, but once Gausman signed, it kind of signaled that they weren't going to re-sign Ray.
Did David Price win a Cy Young with the Blue Jays?
No, he won it with the Rays. Okay. He did good for the Blue Jays when he got traded to them, but he didn't win a Cy Young with them.
For some reason, I was thinking he was with the Blue Jays before the Rays. It's flipped. Okay, never mind. I was surprised too that to see the contracts be so similar, but I honestly, if I had to pick one to be more worth it in their contract, I think it'd be Gausman. I think Gausman's like his pitch makeup and like the way the pitcher that he is, I think is more repeatable and less risky than Robbie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't rely as much on swing and miss stuff. He's more of he has a splitter or sinker. I forget which one. So he throws four seam 52% of the time, a split finger 35%. Like, so he's pretty much a two pitch pitcher, 5% slider and changeup. So I just think that.
You think he ages better than Ray is what you're trying to say. Okay.
I was just going to say, and they had similar careers before, and just that like this last year was like by far their best year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why like I bring up who I think would be more consistent. I just think Gausman has the makeup to be more repeatable.
Okay. So I was shocked that they signed such similar contracts just because I thought Ray would get coming off a Cy Young year. I really thought front offices were going to like look at that and be like, yep, I'm going to like dump the dump truck on him. Like, you know, get a lot of money. Whereas Gausman would, you know, sign for, you know, a little bit, but not as much as Ray. So I was kind of shocked there, but Gausman, I never got the hype for Gausman because I understand in the first half he did great, but in the second half he kind of like fell off. And then like this was by far his best year, right? Like he wasn't with the Orioles, he wasn't doing this. So I really didn't think he would get as much money. So I just never really believed in Gausman. But we'll see.
In 2016, he had a 3.6 ERA in 30 games. So like.
I just remember him with the Orioles, and he was giving up like what 30 home runs a year. I mean, you know who was really bad? Dylan Bundy. Maybe I'm just confusing those two guys.
I mean,
just because they're from.
Yeah, he gave up 28 home runs in 2016, but
okay,
like his highest ERA with the Orioles in an actual season was like a 4-6, which I mean, that's not, it's not great, but like,
it's not totally, but is that like bottoming out? Like Ray had a 9 ERA just as recently as last year. I get it's 2020 season, but it was really high.
Yeah. I think Robbie Ray, it's just, if he loses command a tiny bit, he's just gone.
Like, yeah, no, I think you pushed me towards that reasoning. I get that. Plus, Ray's always had a home run problem, even this year. You know, even with the Cy Young, like he's had a home run problem. So it's like, yeah, if he loses just a little bit of stuff, he's kind of in trouble, definitely.
Yeah,
and I think this kind of got back to like our FIP argument. Like, just because you win a Cy Young doesn't mean like, I get he did great, but like if Cole and Ray was on the free agent market right now, who are you giving a bigger contract to?
It wouldn't be close. Like,
just
because you win Cy Young doesn't mean you are the best pitcher. Like, you pitched the best, but that doesn't mean you are the best.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, Gerrit Cole's year before Sticky Ban was incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, if it didn't, like, yeah, but his year after Sticky stuff, you could see it took him a second to like figure out how to pitch without it, but once he figured it out, he was extremely good and then just got hurt again. And then he also dealt with, remembering things wrong, or wasn't there a time like in like July or August that Gerrit Cole had like some sort of injury, but he never actually went on the IL?
I don't recall.
I feel like there was, but either way, like I think most people would, if you look at Robbie Ray and Gerrit Cole and say who's gonna have a better year next year, put $100 on it, most people are gonna pick Gerrit Cole. Like, he's shown for 4 years that he is one of the best pitchers in the league.
Also, just chit chat with my friend, he was like, oh, now Cole's the third best pitcher in New York.
I mean, you can't, like, he is. I mean, it's kind of funny, but like, I wouldn't be shocked if Cole did better than Scherzer next year, but
But I also wouldn't be shocked if Scherzer did better than Cole.
Yeah. I would be shocked if either of them did better than DeGrom if he pitched a whole season.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
DeGrom's
pitchers
right now. Like, he's just better than everyone else. But yeah, so who did we oh, Gausman and Ray. I guess we can jump to Stroman, because I thought he would have a similar market to them, just a little bit lower. But I kind of think Stroman's been shooting himself in the foot on social media. Like, he should have gotten more than he did based on his abilities, but I think a lot of teams are like just not liking his personality. And like, I used to really like Roman. He was one of my favorite pitchers, and like, I liked him as a like person, but he has just gone off the deep end. And it's getting a little extreme. And I think teams are a little weary of that, because he has had the better career than either of those other guys.
Yes.
But so he signed for 3 years or 2 years for $25 million a year, and then a third year with a player option for 21 that could get up to 25 if he pitches a certain amount of innings the first 2 years. So 3/71 if he opts in, and there's incentives to get him up to 3/75, which, I mean, that's Verlander's contract basically with an extra year added on. So I expect him to sign more of like a 5 year,
that's what I
110, 115-ish.
I thought what Ray and Gausman signed for, I thought that was what Stroman was going to get, maybe a little less, maybe, but like that was kind of the deal I expected Stroman to get. And then I expected Gausman and Ray to sign for like, you know, 150, 160, somewhere in that range. So when it came down to just being 120, I was like, wow, I'm kind of shocked. That's not unreasonable, I think. because I thought Ray was going to get a lot of money. Like, that's kind of similar to what Zach Wheeler got, because I think he signed, what, 5 years? I think he got like $24 million a year over 5 years, somewhere around there. That sounds about right. Yeah. So I was like, that's pretty reasonable. And then, you know, it wasn't like, I really thought they were going to get some crazy amount over like 6-7 years. And I was like, I would never do that.
Yeah, I definitely expect him to sign a longer deal, but I think he may have been hurting himself a little bit in his market, but I mean, the Cubs could get an amazing deal out of this. Like,
yeah,
he could be a pitcher that's worth a lot more than that, but he could just also talking not
about, talking about like just Twitter, just like Steve Cohen likes to go on Twitter a lot. Stroman likes to go on Twitter a lot. And he was talking a lot of smack about the Yankees, which I kind of was not, I kind of didn't really understand. Like, he was saying how the Yankees just, you know, make trades all the time and they sign all these players. And it's like, as a player, part of the MLBPA, like, why, what's your beef with teams spending a lot of money? Shouldn't you like that? Right? Like, do you want teams to, like, I hate when teams try to like nickel and dime people, be like, oh, look, sure, we could sign this big contract, but let me be a little smart and just sign this guy and then have it blow up, like kind of like Andrew Heaney. You know, it's like, we see the potential in him, we'll do this trade instead of signing, instead of trading for, you know, Serger.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
And like, do you remember what Cashman said about Stroman in 2019?
He said they didn't want him, right? He saw him as a relief pitcher, or am I
making that up? He said that Stroman wouldn't be the pitcher that would tip the scale. He wouldn't be the guy that the Yankees needed for, like, because the Yankees wanted like a bona fide ace at that deadline. Mm-hmm. And Cashman said that Stroman wasn't that guy. Yeah. And I think Stroman just got so butthurt from that.
Yeah.
That he just has like a personal vendetta against the Yankees now. And like, he also said the Yankees have made a bit like have traded for the top guy at the trade deadline every year for the past however long, and
which
like,
is not true at all.
The last, I'm trying to think of the last top player at free agent or at the trade deadline that they traded for.
Yeah, and like
I can't think of one.
Yeah, I think me and you were texting about that. We was just trying to go back to, like, when was the last time the Yankees made a major, you know, July 31st or, you know, big deadline move? And I just can't remember it. Like, I always remember being disappointed more often than not.
Yeah.
You know, this was the first time in years where I was like, wow, the Yankees actually did something.
Yeah, and, like, Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo were not the top names free agency. Like,
yeah.
But whatever. Like, and we've signed top name in free agency once in the past 5 years, and we traded for Stanton. Cole. Yeah. Like, and Stroman Stanton just hates the Yankees because...
And Stanton's situation was kind of, like, not fixed, but it was like he had a no-trade contract, and the Marlins were looking to trade him.
Yeah.
So it was a right situation for it, you know? Like, there was only a certain number of teams that could trade for him, and the Marlins didn't want his contract. So it just kind of worked out in our favor, but it wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, but good luck in Chicago, Marcus. Yeah. And speaking of
I do like that if that Cashman comment got under his skin, and like I use it as like to fire yourself up, but I can't believe he really has a beef over the Yankees for that. You know, like, if I get trying to prove people wrong, I just think, like, if I was a pitcher, someone says, hey, this guy doesn't, you know, he's not that good. Like, I would definitely use that to try to fuel me up and try to, like, do better and show them up. But, like, I can't imagine me, like, if they offer me a lot of money, I can't imagine not signing there.
And to be fair, Cashman was right. Marcus Stroman was never the difference maker for the Mets. Whatever. Good luck in Chicago. And speaking of Chicago, our buddy Clint Frazier signed there. I mean, not much to say other than good luck. I hope he has a good career at Chicago. It sucks that it didn't work out for him here. But
just hope he gets over the injury bug, you know, concussions, and that's kind of serious, but hopefully he can get over it. And now if he could, I want him to do well in Chicago. I do.
Yeah. sticking in the Midwest, I think we can hop over to the Tigers and talk about Javi Baez, the next big shortstop that went off the board. It's what was his six over 140?
His deal? Yep. I think that's about right.
22-ish or 25-ish? No.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the exact contract, but I know
it's less than 25.
Okay. I know Correa was linked the most to the Tigers. Mm-hmm. And I did think there was more smoke to that than So like I do think that Correa could sign with the Tigers. Like I never like threw them out there. It was six years, $140 million.
Mm-hmm.
But so the Tiger signing Javi Baez for that contract, like I was like, wow, that's kind of shocking to me that Baez didn't sign for more. But I do like I do like the Tigers signing him.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they signed him because they could still sign Correa, like the Rangers signed both of their big guys, but it makes it much less likely for them to sign Correa. So that leaves another big team that was rumored in a lot of the shortstops that's off the board. But I think it's a good move for them. Like he's a big personality, something that Detroit needs. They need to pull some fans back in, and it looks like they're at least trying to compete or gearing up to try and compete.
Yeah, they have their rebuild. They have some prospects that they're trying to do. I think Baez will help them, like in the clubhouse and everything. Even though with the Mets, it was a big mess. I don't think he fits with like the Yankees.
He's not a New York guy.
Yeah, it just seemed like I know Chicago. It's not as tough there. Not a lot of media circus there.
Nowhere's so, like New York.
Yeah, so that's why I like him on the Tigers. I also just think he's going to age the worst out of all the shortstops, the big name shortstops. So, I thought he would get a bigger contract, but I think that's kind of about fair for him.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope he does well. I want the Tigers to be good.
You want to talk about our rivals? Oh, their moves, the Rays.
Sure. So I mean, we can
notice I didn't say the Red Sox first.
The Red Sox suck. Wander Franco signs to it's $100 million. What was it though? How many years?
It was 13 years or 12 years. It was a really long contract.
Oh, $200 million. Okay, so I think it's 13, 182.
Well, I think 182 is guaranteed, and then he has an option that can make it go into $200 million.
11 years, 182 is what's guaranteed, I think. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, good for him. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's so young, and like as a player, like, you never know how your career is going to shake out. Like, I think position players are more likely to be in control just because, like, if I'm a pitcher, I always sign, a big term contract just because. But like, you're offering him $200 million. I totally get why he would do that. I know a lot of people are saying he's undercutting himself.
He's but 20. That's crazy. Yeah,
it's a lot of money for someone so young, and the Rays just locked up the face of their franchise for the next 11 years.
And like, if he goes out and becomes one of the best shortstops in the league, which I think a lot of people expect him to, and does that for 15 years, sure, he's going to lose out on a lot of money. But like, if he gets a really bad injury and just flounders, or like if he just loses it somehow, like he's now set. He doesn't have to worry about it. Like,
yeah, it made total sense for both sides. Like, I can't fault him for signing $200 million.
The Rays committing something like this is kind of crazy too, so they must really believe him.
Yeah, totally. And then also, so just talking about like the lockout, like so there has to be a salary floor, right? Just because if there is, this is the guy you put the money on, right?
Yeah, like I feel like either there is going to be, or a lot of owners expect there to be, so they're just trying to get ahead of it before If they didn't do it before the lockout and then there is a salary floor, then all of the owners with cheap teams are going to be like rushing for these players. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's reasonable to think that, especially with a team like the Rays signing a big long-term contract. They don't do that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's cool to see. And
yeah.
And then they also signed Corey Kluber to a 1 year, 15 or 10 million.
I think it was 8 million with like 8 million guaranteed and incentives that can get it up to 15 million. So it cheaper than what we signed him for coming off shoulder injury, but like I was kind of shocked by that, but like I could see this move definitely like panning out for them, you know.
I mean, I think it makes sense that he's signing for less than he signed with us, because with us, I think we were hoping that he would pitch a full season just because most of the season. But now I think the Rays are like, he came back, was supposed to be healthy and still missed like half the year.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, I think that's why he got less, but there's a good chance that it could be very worthwhile for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only reason why I'm saying I'm shocked it was for less is that he was always risky for sure, but he was coming off pitching what, a couple of innings over like 2 years, and mm-hmm. we signed him for more, and it's like now he's coming off. I get he was injured, he pitched what, 60-80 innings if that, and then he gets less, like he's coming off more work and he's getting less, which is why I'm saying I'm just kind of shocked. But, like, I like the fit. I think the Rays will do Rays magic, and he'll turn back into a Cy Young.
Yeah, he'll be a Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
I guess we can mention the Red Sox quickly. They signed James Paxton. Whoop-de-doo. He's been hurt 80 times in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
But it could be good for them if he stays healthy. Could be a good deal. They also
kind of similar to Kluber, where it's like, you see you could see it definitely working for them, but it comes with risk, right?
They also, they also traded Hunter Renfroe for Jackie Bradley Jr. and some contracts or prospects. Like, they obviously traded him for the prospects, because why would you want Jackie Bradley Jr.? Like,
he's coming off a miserable year, and then they didn't resign him last year, so it's like you could have had him last year if you really wanted him. So
yeah,
it's definitely for the prospect. Yeah, exactly.
And like JBJ is going to be a good defender. Like, that's not going to change. He just can't hit to save his. I want to look at his Baseball Savant. I want to see how blue it is.
Okay.
His exit velo is actually average. Exit velo is 59th percentile. His expected WOBA is first percentile. His expected slugging is first percentile. His barrel percentage is 19th percentile. Whiff percentage is 5th percentile. K rate is 6th percentile. He doesn't walk. He strikes out a lot. He swings and misses a lot. He doesn't hit the ball hard. Like,
yeah. He plays good defense, but other than that. Yeah.
Nowhere near worth what he's being paid. He hit 160. His OPS last year was 497.
Yeah.
Juan Soto's OBP was almost that high.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, that's a weird move, but hopefully those prospects are good. Hopefully not, but like, for the Red Sox fans, hopefully they work out. Whatever. And I guess that leaves us with Chris Taylor. First, Byron Buxton signed the extension with the Twins, 7 years, $100 million. Like,
the only thing that's worth mentioning, so that's, you know, he's injury prone. They got him locked up. He has bonuses based on MVP voting. Like, that could make this a lot more than 100 million. So I think he gets like, let me pull it up here. He gets, the Twins have like incentives that could push him to 20. He gets 8 million bonus if he finishes first, $7 million if he gets second, $6 million for third, $5 million for fourth, $4 million for fifth, mm-hmm. and then $3 million if he finishes anywhere from 6 to 10. Like, that's crazy. That's on top. That's, he gets $100 million guaranteed, and then those are the bonuses. Like, I've never seen bonuses like that in baseball.
I think it's the Twins saying, like, we believe in you, and we mm-hmm. want, if you play like you're supposed to, we want you mm-hmm. to be paid like you're closer to what you're supposed to be. Because if he plays yes. like healthy Byron Buxton does, mm-hmm. he is worth way more
than what for sure.
he signed for.
For sure.
And I think that's what the Twins are trying to do. But good for him, like, mm-hmm. he is injury prone, so this could be a horrible deal. But,
well, with those bonuses, all you have to do is just, you know, throw some money to the voters, and you got yourself $3 million if yeah. you just finish somewhere in the top 10, at least.
Yeah. But, yeah, good for him. And that leaves us with Chris Taylor. I think that's the last big name yeah. that signed. And, what, 4 years, $60 million, so $15 mm-hmm. million a year, which – is a little lower than I thought it would, but I think he took his count to stay in LA.
Yeah. I thought he was gone from the Dodgers, honestly. I didn't think they were going to re-sign him. I thought if they were going to re-sign anyone, it would be Seager and mm-hmm. and Kershaw, but we could talk about Kershaw later on. But yeah, like I thought Taylor was going to sign with like the Red Sox for some reason. That was just like my home for him.
Yeah. I kind of wanted him to sign with the Yankees a little bit, but mm-hmm. I'm not too upset that he signed with the Dodgers. Like yeah. I'm not that upset that we didn't get him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, another guy.
He's a versatile guy, yeah, you know, he plays all over the place. Yeah. So, and just staying with the Dodgers, it makes sense.
It's almost definitely going to be a worthwhile contract. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we can bounce right off that to Kershaw, which we went over all the big moves that have happened, and now we want to talk about some of the big things left that we are still waiting on. And Kershaw's a surprising one. I yeah. definitely thought he would have just signed with the Dodgers pretty much right away after he mm-hmm. declined his qualifying offer. But
oh, he never got it. He never even got the qualifying
offer. Oh, right. Yeah. But it's kind of shocking that he hasn't signed yet,
yeah,
and I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, neither do I. I still people, think so.
Yeah,
the expectation was it was going to be Dodgers or Rangers, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know yeah. if the Rangers are still in play. I mean, it seems like they spent a lot of money, but who knows what the Rangers are going to do? Because I never saw them signing Seager or Semien. Never mind signing both. So maybe they're still in play, but my expectation, he still goes to the Dodgers, but I'm just shocked it's taken so long.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool if Cashman would swoop in and sign him to a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun to have Kershaw as a Yankee.
I think the only thing is that he's coming off a forearm injury to end the year, and he missed the playoffs because of that injury. So I don't know how much that's playing into it. And I haven't even heard any news about him either.
Yeah.
Like, just rehabbing or any teams interested in him. It's kind of been pretty quiet. Like, if you didn't realize he was a free agent, you wouldn't think he's a free agent.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of going off that, similar story with Carlos Rodon. Like, I haven't heard anything about him. And that's another guy that, like, I want the Yankees to sign him.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later, of like who we want the Yankees to get, whatever. But mm-hmm. that's a guy that I would like the Yankees to go after. It's a high risk, high reward thing.
Yeah.
But like, I can see why people wouldn't want him. He's had one really good year,
yeah,
and he's been hurt a lot. So it could mm-hmm. really hurt us to sign him, like Paxton, I guess. But like, we didn't sign Paxton, but whatever. I think it would be fun to get one of the top free agent pitchers. But yeah, I have no idea where Rodon's going to go. It's been radio silence on him.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't even know what teams are in on him, just like with Kershaw. Like, there's nothing, there's no news on them, which is so wild to me because I thought they would get, you know, a lot more interest in this. You know, maybe it's, you know, all behind the scenes, there's teams talking to them, but we just haven't heard anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'd expect the White Sox to be in on Rodon, the Dodgers to be in on Kershaw, but other than that, Don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And then I guess we can kind of like Kershaw, a guy we expect to stay, but there are reports of him that he could move, Freddie Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nearly impossible to imagine Freddie Freeman with a team other than the Braves, but yeah. Like, I'm flabbergasted that hasn't been re-signed yet.
Yeah, so same.
Now there's a lot of time for him to think about playing for another team.
Yeah. So the teams that's interested in him is obviously the Braves, Yankees, and Dodgers. That's who I've heard are interested in him. And the Red Sox, I think, are also in on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's a lefty first baseman. You know, that's kind of interesting. But I think at the end of the day, he's going back to the Braves, right? They just won a World Series. He, you know, was with them this whole time. I can't imagine him leaving. So.
Yeah, and if he did leave, like, it'd be cool if the Yankees got him. I'd rather the Yankees get Olsen, but I mean, I would not complain at all about having Freddie Freeman.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I think Olsen is better fit for the Yankees. Like, they're both lefties and they both play Gold Glove defense. You know, obviously there's still Rizzo, but I think those are like the top tier lefty first basemen that play Gold Glove defense, right?
Yeah, yeah, and. Yeah, but I expect him to go back to the Braves, like most people do. And we can talk about Rizzo. There's been nothing about him either. I have no idea where he's going to go. I can see him going to the Red Sox.
That's who I was saying too. I was thinking either go back to the Cubs just because, you know, they signed, you know, Stroman. I heard there's interest. The Cubs might sign Correa, but I was thinking it's either Cubs or Red Sox, right? That's who I'm expecting it to be.
I mean, it could. I could very well see it being the Yankees if they don't get Freeman and can't trade for Olsen. I think it's going to be Rizzo, but I think the Yankees will either get Freeman or Olsen and they won't care about getting Rizzo anymore. But yeah, there's been no report about him.
Yeah.
So I think he's kind of just waiting out on what happens with Freeman and Olsen. Yeah. I think he kind of wants to be a Yankee. So he might be hoping that the Yankees don't get anyone else, so they kind of have to bring him back. But like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think his market kind of shapes up more clearly once those two guys are kind of moved or signed.
Yeah. And then the guy that's going to sign the biggest contract that's still out there is Carlos Correa. Mm-hmm. There was a report that came out that he has heard from, I believe it's the Yankees, the Cubs, the Astros, the Dodgers, the Braves, or not the Astros, because they haven't said anything other than 160. So Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Cubs, Braves. I don't think he's going to the Braves. I can rule that out. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
He could go to the Dodgers, but like the fact that the Dodgers didn't even try to get Corey Seager back, I don't know if they're going to. Well,
you sent me a link that said, you know, Yankees and Cubs were the most likely. Like, who the hell is this guy? We don't know. But, like, you know, if those are the two teams that is between it, I would think the Yankees have to get him. Because, like, if the Cubs were going to do anything, I think they would have signed Baez. Like, I can't imagine them spending a lot of money. I don't think they will spend a lot of money. Even getting Stroman, they didn't spend a lot of money. So, Correa is going to get the most money. It has to be the Yankees.
People could say that the Yankees weren't in on any of the other shortstops, so they're not going to spend that much money on Correa. But Boone said at the beginning of the offseason on R2C2 that there is one guy that the Yankees are after in the offseason. It's starting to shape up like that one guy is Carlos Correa, because they didn't even really try to get any of the other big shortstops. Yeah. He's the only one that they've directly talked about at all in any of their like interviews and anything. So and he's the only one that the Yankees have been linked to.
Yeah. So like Cashman been saying, like they put feelers out for everyone, but like nothing really materialized. Right. The only thing where it's like, you've heard stuff is with Correa, and like, he's the guy that makes the most sense if you were going to go for any of the shortstops.
Yeah. And a lot of fans are like, oh, if they didn't spend, if they're not going to spend 325 on Seager, they're not going to spend 350 on Correa. But like, why? Like, why can't they just be like, I don't want Seager, I want Correa. So I'm not going to offer Seager a $325 million contract. Like, if you want Correa, you want Correa. And like, you're going for him. So, I mean, we could be wrong. Like, they could just not get anyone and sign in Andrelton Simmons and call it a day. But like, it's starting to seem like Correa is their guy. And if the Yankees have a guy that they really want, it's very rare for them not to get them.
Yeah.
In free agency specifically. Like, they have the most money. There's no question. And they can spend the most money. So if they want Correa and Correa's their guy, he's going to be a Yankee, but I could see it not being that case. And he could sign with the Cubs or any of the other teams, but if the Yankees want him, he's probably going to be a Yankee. And that brings us to the last big name shortstop, Trevor Story, which we also haven't heard a ton about.
Yeah. So my thought, it's kind of weird. So what I've heard is that the Yankees were kind of sour on Story. I don't know why they're sour on him. I don't think there was any reason why other than they were just sour on him. But I could see him going to the Astros because the Astros kind of seem like they're lowballing Correa. Because what was their offer to him? It was a slap in the face. I just know that. I just can't remember the number off the top of my head. Do you know what it was?
It was 5/160, I believe.
160? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like 150. But it's still like, I can't, like 5 years, that's it? You know, 32 million, that's it? Like,
I mean, 32 million is not bad. 5 years is a joke.
Yeah. I mean, and also Seager signed for a higher AAV over more years.
Didn't know that at the time that they offered the contract. I think people would have expected 10 over 325 would be, that's probably what people expected Correa to sign.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's a fair point.
But yeah, Story, so, I think Story will sign a shorter AAV, like 5 years with similar.
So that's why I think the Astros will be in play for Story, because if that's what they're offering Correa, and you expect Story to sign a shorter deal, then, you know, I guess the Astros, if they're able to come up with that money for Correa, they'll just give it to Story, right? Yeah. That's kind of my expectation. Plus, like I said, he's a guy from Texas, so kind of a homecoming story, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, take him.
I could see him signing for like 5/120 or 110, similar to like Robbie Ray and Gausman. Type of contract.
But that's kind of shocking to me though, because I thought Correa was going to sign for the most, and then I thought it would be Story and then Seager. Seager's contract is just wild to me. 10 years, $325 million. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of a recap of the main free agents. Obviously, there are people we left out. There's just like Hector Neris. I don't care to talk about him for very long. It's a reliever that cool, he signed a contract. Well, whatever. But I think now we can go into, we've mentioned the Yankees quite a bit already, so I think we can just summarize what we hope happens for the rest of the year. I guess I'll let you start, because
I think we're kind of on board. Like I want Olsen and Correa, right? You know, first base, shortstop, and then I want us to sign a pitcher. You know, I wasn't even thinking about Kershaw until you mentioned it, but I was thinking like, I was thinking they were going to sign some type of pitcher. Now that Verlander is off the board and is like, but Rodon would be a guy that I would be looking at.
Yeah. And so like my roadmap there, so I have two options that I'd be happy with. Mm-hmm. One, sign Correa or Story, but I want Correa. Sign Correa. Trade for Olsen. In the Olsen trade, try and get Manaea or Montas. Mm-hmm. Like, or why am I blanking on his name? Bettis? No. Why am I blanking
Sean on his Manaea, name? Frankie Montas, Chris Bassett.
Bassett, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like if they trade for one of those three guys as well as Olsen, Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be awesome. I saw this. Okay, hold on, I'll get into that after. So that getting that those three, so that gives us pitcher, shortstop, and first base, and then some way getting an outfielder. Like I would like another center fielder. I think Hicks could have a good year. So like I don't need.
I'm not down on him.
Center fielder, but I do not want Brett Gardner starting more than 30 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's absolute max. I don't want him starting more than 15. But like, it's probably going to happen, but I would like to get another outfielder. And that kind of brings me to this mega trade that I saw on Reddit that theoretically could happen if the Yankees with the A's. So the Yankees trade for Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
And Manaea or one of the other pitchers get blank out the shortstop.
Gleyber Torres for the Yankees?
No, the A's shortstop. Why am I blanking out his name? Elvis Andrews. Elvis Andrews.
Oh,
okay. Because he's older and has a big contract that the A's are going to want to get rid of. And then throw in Ramon Laureano.
Okay.
So this is a big trade,
mm-hmm.
but like you're offsetting a lot of salary for the A's, which they're going to want to take off, but you're getting a lot of stuff for the Yankees. Like obviously this is going to take like Voit, Peraza, Heel, another higher up guy. Hopefully it doesn't mean Volpe or Dominguez. I wouldn't really want to trade either of them for this package, but like
neither. If I'm trading Dominguez or Volpe, like I'm getting Bieber and Jose Ramirez in a pack.
Yeah, it's something. Like, yeah.
And that's not going to happen. And I don't think the Indians even take that trade,
but,
you know. But
if you get Olsen, Sol's first base, you get Manaea, that's a good number two, number three guy. If Sevy isn't great at number two, like Manaea's pretty good guy, or Montas. And then you eat Elvis Andrews. That's not a good player, but he's a backup infielder. You eat that contract. He's fine as a backup.
Yeah. And well, because he's not the main piece in the trade. You're getting him because you're getting those other players. It's a guy you have to take. It's a poison pill.
And if you sign Correa, then Elvis Andrews is just like the backup shortstop because DJ is the super utility for everything else.
Yes.
And then you get Ramon Laureano, which if Hicks gets hurt or if anyone gets hurt or if he plays better than Hicks, like you have two legit center fielders.
Yeah.
And Hicks and Laureano. And that never hurts. That's always good to have. And like, if we could make that trade work, tell me that wouldn't be incredible. I mean,
that does solve a lot of Yankee issues in one fell swoop.
And the A's want to get rid of anyone that has value on their team, basically.
Yeah.
Like that, that would be my dream. If we make that trade happen and sign Correa.
Yeah. I mean, that would be awesome. Like, I'm all for it. But it does take a lot of maneuvering. I know the A's have Sean Murphy, catcher. And I know the Yankees have. So we didn't mention this, but the Yankees tendered Gary Sanchez a contract.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, there was some rumors where the Yankees were going to go get Jacob Stalling. If they were able to trade for him, he ended up getting traded to the Marlins. But there was rumors if we get him, they would non-tender Gary. But that ended up not, materializing. And then we did offer Sanchez a contract.
Yeah. And there are no better options in free agency. So it makes sense. And the Yankees, there are still reports that they're trying to trade him if they get a catcher to replace him. But Gary Sanchez is an average offensive catcher.
He has his faults, but like at the end of the day, like there's nothing better. And like realistically, where does he fall in line of catchers? Like, not that bad, like we're annoyed by him.
Middle of the pack in terms of catchers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no clear upgrades other than guys that we could never get.
Yeah. And, like, you can't have an all-star at every single position. It's just, it's never going to work. But, so that trade would be awesome. And then another route that I think the Yankees could take, say they sign Freeman and sign Correa, that's a lot of money. So I think everything else that's to come through trades.
Mm-hmm.
And also I would be fine with getting Matt Olson, signing Rodon, and not doing the whole big, huge trade. But yeah, say we don't get Matt Olson, we sign Freeman, we sign Correa or Story, then mm-hmm. I think we should go after someone like Luis Castillo or Sonny Gray, maybe mm-hmm. Germán Márquez. I think that would be a pretty – they're all pretty reasonable trades, and I think you also try and take the package that you would give for Olson and bring it to the Pirates for Brian Reynolds.
Yeah,
to sign to solve the outfield problem. I think that's just another route. So either of those would be what I would want in a dream situation for the Yankees offseason.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fair.
Obviously, it's kind of hitting coach.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. We don't have a hitting coach, but you know, it's interesting just getting Sonny Gray again. Like, he's been great with the Reds, but you know. Obviously, it's just so weird just how
I don't have Rothschild anymore, so maybe he'd come back. But
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously getting away from Rothschild and just going to Cincinnati helped him, you know, but Cincinnati is also a hitter's ballpark, so it's not like
he's a good pitcher,
yeah. And I think Matt Blake could work wonders for him. Like, I'm all for getting Gray again. Like, it seems like he's fixed.
Yeah, I love
and it
Sonny seems Gray.
Like, yeah, it seemed like they kind of tinkered with his repertoire. Like, I think it's a good fit if the Yankees get him. So I'm all for it. But I think you'll get some pushback from some Yankee fans saying you want Gray again. They're like, I'm off this ride already.
Yeah. And one thing I want to mention that a lot of Yankees fans are throwing around there is Wilson Contreras as a trade. Mm-hmm. Like, I think people are jaded by how much they watch Gary Sanchez and think he's a lot worse as a catcher than he really is, because Wilson Contreras is literally the same thing. I don't know why people want him that hate Gary Sanchez. Like, he is horrible behind the plate.
Yeah.
Can't hit that well anymore.
Yeah. I don't understand the reasoning either, because it's like, well, we're going to have to give up prospects anyways to get him. And then also, I don't think he's that much of an upgrade. Like, he's marginally an upgrade, if that. Like, because like you said, his defense is not that good. Like, you hate Gary with pass balls. Like, Contreras is not better. So, yeah. I don't know.
If anything, Contreras is worse at defense than Gary.
Yeah.
And, like, he had a 108 OPS plus last year. Gary had... Oh, let's see. Gary had, I think, in the high 90s.
I think it was a 99.
Yeah, 99. So, like, he is 9% better at hitting than Gary. And for what we would need to trade to get him,
and it's also
just not worth it.
Yeah, I don't think he's better defensively, but okay, even if he was, it's only marginally. So, like I said, I think it's a marginal upgrade considering what you have to give him. Plus, I think he's making the same amount of money. So it's not like, I don't think it's that much of an upgrade in my mind.
Yeah, they're literally the same player, but people just don't watch Contreras as much. So they think he's better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want him. I don't know why people want him so bad. But so that's how we feel about the Yankees. You want to talk about the lockout a little bit?
I think we kind of saw this coming. In my mind, I'm just hopeful that we get this through before spring training, you know, where we don't lose any games. I'm hopeful that it will work out. It sucks, but right now it's not like I'm missing out on any baseball, and that's kind of that's my feelings. You know, I don't want to miss any baseball.
I told you that I still don't like it, even if it starts before spring training, because I like when players sign like 2 months mm-hmm. before the season, because that gives me something to do. I can deep dive mm-hmm. into that player. But the fact that we're even in a lockout, like, I don't know, for those of you listening that might not know this, a lockout isn't like a required thing if they don't reach an agreement. It's completely the owner's decision. The owners decided to have a lockout, and I know that's just how it works. It's how it's going to go.
You're gonna put the screws on them, right? You're like, okay, we're gonna lock them out. You know, like, I get it from the owners. Like, I don't like it, but I get it from a negotiating standpoint from the owner's side.
And the whole thing is just going to be a battle of revenue sharing, basically. Like, there are other issues that are going to be talked about, like expanded playoffs and whatnot. But, like, in reality, it's going to be most of the battle is probably going to be the players wanting more of the revenue that they're creating and the owners not wanting to give them that revenue. It's like the owners are going to want a lower luxury tax threshold, so players have to sign for less money. The players are going to want a salary floor so that teams can't have a $60 million payroll, and they're going to want to raise the luxury tax.
Well, I think the owners, are they fighting for a salary cap where you could theoretically say we kind of like the luxury tax kind of serves as a cap, you know? So,
but it doesn't. Like, if you want to spend past more, it, but you can.
Teams just like, but it really, I think it has served as their kind of cap though. Like, you don't see them blowing past it that much. So, like,
yeah,
it,
I think
for that.
I think the owners just want to lower the tax even more just so they have even more of an excuse to not spend more money.
Oh, yeah. But like we were saying, like the Pirates, Indians, like what Rays, like how little they're spending is kind of a travesty, you know?
Yeah.
So like I think there should definitely be a salary floor. And then obviously there's going to be a battle between like arbitration, you know, just because they're saying like players are getting screwed, they're manipulating their time. So I'm sure I think it's going to be a war. I just hope we don't lose games, but I could see it happening where this kind of lingers on before then, because they've had what, 5 years to negotiate a contract and it's gotten to this point. Why should I be optimistic that in 2 months time, you know, they'll figure it out? I just am.
And I do think reality teams are going to keep talking to agents for the free agents and talking about trades and stuff. I think it's just going to happen. It's not supposed to, but I think it will. And I think as soon as the lockout ends, there's going to be a lot of moves, which I'm excited for. But
yeah,
we're just going to have to wait and see. Hopefully it doesn't take too long. But
so, Ryan, I don't know if you noticed, have you been on the MLB.com website?
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize this. So before this recording, I was trying to look at all the signings that happened because I was like, oh yeah, MLB.com would have all the, you know, recaps. There's nothing, absolutely nothing there. No active players. If you look at their stats, there's like, it doesn't even show the players. I was like, oh wow. It was just crazy.
A bunch of players have changed their profile pictures on Twitter to like those blank pictures.
That's funny.
Tyone did it. And Tyone said that he can't go to the team trainer now, the team physical therapist to heal.
Yeah.
Until he do his physical therapy, which is not cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're not allowed to have contact with them. So I was looking at promotions. Let me just look at they can't use the players' names. So I was just looking at the Yankees promotion. It was like Yankee Yoda bobblehead. Like it wouldn't say the player. And then for the Cardinals, they was going to give away an Arenado jersey. Mm-hmm. It was like adult Cardinals third baseman jersey. And then it was like mystery pitcher and catcher. It was like obviously alluding to Wainwright and Molina, but they couldn't actually say their names. So I just thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah. It's some memes are going to come out of it and hopefully the game comes out for the better. We'll see. I think it's going to be a big one. I think there are going to be a lot of changes that are going to happen at the end of this for good or for worse.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. Totally. Yeah. I think that's
totally.
I think that's a good summary. I think we covered a lot in this episode. I'm looking forward to just talking about some historical Yankee stuff the rest of the offseason, especially during the lockout, doing some episodes on our top Yankee, like all-time Yankees teams, top position or top players at each position in the league. Just some fun stuff.
And we still need to do our predictions going back and just seeing how wrong we were and everything. So
I think that'll be next episode.
Yeah, for sure. But we have some things just planned out for you know, even though there's going to be no baseball news, I guess if there's going to be baseball news, it's going to be, you know, the lockout's over.
Yep. And we will make an episode as soon as we can after that happens. Don't worry about that. So yeah. And if you have anything that any episode ideas that you have for us, definitely reach out on Twitter, Instagram at the Bronx Story. And we'd love to incorporate some of your ideas. And as always, if you enjoy the episode, please leave a rating review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can check us out, like I said, on Twitter and Instagram at the Bronx Story. And we look forward to having a good time this offseason talking about some baseball. Well, there's not a lot going on for reporting. So hopefully we can be a source of entertainment and baseball need for a lot of the fans out there, because I know I'm going to be crazy.
I don't have my fix anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I, you know, kind of like what you were saying, like you like to see it trickle down just because, you know, it kind of cools you down during that whole three months of off season. But yeah, it's going to suck just having no baseball news at all.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I guess we can end it there. And as always, again, thanks for listening. And Jacinder, you can take it away.
Let's go, Yankees. Please end this lockout.
See you guys.
And a bit now. That one's drilled deep to left field. If it's fair, it's gone. It is gone. Yankees take a 2-1 lead.